pull my shirt off again. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking this morning over there in the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. Great bulletin, by the way. It's always sad to be able to see, you know, the ruthlessness of people in America and their mindset. Over 63,459,781 babies aborted since Roe versus Wade back in 1973. 886,677 aborted between 2019 and 2021. And as a result of that, in Texas, we're glad that there's been some restraint, and it's slowed some of it down. And yet them devils are always trying to come back and trying to get reinstated, all of that. And you know what's sad about some of this? Is that all these abortions that you're seeing is to hide sin. That's what it amounts to. We look at the tragedy of that baby's life. What the tragedy is, somebody's trying to kill to hide their sin. That's the same thing Cain did with Abel. See? It's always been that way. Take your Bible now, chapter 21, book of Revelation, verse number 3. If you're able to stand, look there in that passage, chapter number 21, verse number 3. And I saw a new heaven, and I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. What a good thought that is. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that athirst for the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil of a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. In the lesson that we're looking at, I want to preach on some things that we won't remember no more. I want to say that when you begin to look into this lesson is that we're bombarded with sex and dope and lies and cheating and killing and murder and even of the innocent, the unborn and so forth and on, as well as that young lady that was what, UCLA, that a man came in, stabbed her while she's on the job, killed her and took her life, and because of the poor leadership and the poor enforcement that we now have in these cities because of the fact that people have cried out against them. You know, black folks, they didn't want the law enforcement on the job because it criminals, you know, like George Floyd. I don't know why anybody's making such a big to-do about George Floyd. Is that because of the fact is that he was a criminal many times over? I want to say to you that, if you will, something's gone wrong. Now black people are hollering because the BLM's got the police department defunded. You know, I could clean all these cities up. They'd just go ahead and get out of my way and look the other way. I'd go ahead and get a few people there. We could probably get rich. Here's the key. You know, you're not going to be able to follow us around until we get it cleaned up. By the way, funeral parlors are going to need to stock up. Probably there are going to be a lot of that. That's what's wrong in the day we live in. Let me say to you that, if you will, please, is that you cannot promote sin and people that are criminals in a criminal-filled society. You know one of the things that's wrong, don't you? And you know what the number one selling thing is? Sex. Hey, you know what they want to do when they're on YouTube? They've got somebody, if you want to sell a dog, sell a hog, sell a bog, or sell a mudslide, or anything else right there, they've got somebody's wives out there in bikini-clad clothing. That's true. Some of them are even married. You may have thought, you know what I can do? Put my wife on television. If you'll put her in a little skimpy glad clothes, then you can pimp your wife out like these guys are pimping theirs out. You didn't get a high five on that, did you? That's true, isn't it? I got to say to you that if you will, something's gone wrong in the field. There's no wonder that this thing's going to hell in a handbasket. I got to tell you, whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find that this is the message of a great voice. This is the voice that came out of heaven. This is the voice, if you will. And he said, the tabernacle of God is with men. I'm glad to know that we've got God that dwells in our midst, that he is our ever-abiding presence. And let me tell you, when he says in verse number 3 there, that the presence of God not only is going to be with men, but it's going to be God himself with them. And he said, and I'm going to be their God, they're going to be my people, they're going to be my sons. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that we ought to be able to rejoice in the fact that God has provided salvation for full and for free. Now, I don't get on Facebook, and I've not seen any of your wives, so y'all don't look at me funny when I say things like I did. It makes me wonder what you're doing. It makes me wonder what you're thinking. I know you might want to hold back that last little movie that we made and try not to put that on. By the way, I appreciate every time one of y'all puts my birthday and everything on Facebook. I get people from calls from people that I don't know, hadn't seen in years, that don't like me, and I don't like them. I'm just kidding if one of you are listening. I like you sometimes. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, that we've got a reason to rejoice about the presence of God. It involves salvation. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, did you notice that God's going to wipe away some things? And what he said was, I'm going to wipe away the tears from their eyes. And I don't know about you, but every now and again, I go to thinking about, the great loss that we've suffered. I go to thinking about some lives that have been just in shambles. I go to thinking about some people that have left us through the portal of death, and it makes my eyes water up real bad in tears. Sometimes I've got a lot of tears that form up. Most of the time, whenever I'm out and about and I'm thinking about how good God's been, where God brought me from, where I could have been had it not been for the grace of God and for some of the trials and troubles and struggles that you and I have gone through together, and not only with our family but with friends and former members and this and that. But let me tell you, sometimes our tears ducts go to swelling up and we go to getting a little watery eye. You know what's wrong in America? Is that, I'll tell you what, old Brother Roloff used to preach on it. He said, our tear ducts have dried up. We don't longer have any compassion. You know why men treat their wives like a dog? Is because their tear ducts are dried up. You know what makes a woman treat her husband like he's some kind of unwanted stepchild infidel? If you're a stepchild, I don't mean you're an infidel. I'm just saying to you then. See, what, you know the reason why that is? I'll tell you why. No compassion. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that compassion is going to come from God, start with God, be toward God. But until that happens, you're never going to get a place and time in your life when you're not going to ever come upon some situation that's going to fill your eyes up with tears. Sometimes I get tears in my eyes. Sometimes I break down and just cry. That's what he said. I'm going to say they're going to go to a place where there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more cry. You know the reason why we break down and finally cry? Because of the unbearable sorrow. You see that? Notice, if you will, please, is that in Isaiah chapter number 25, verse number 8 and 9, it's not something that all of a sudden that just came up. This is something that God's known all the way from the beginning to the end. And he says in verse number 8 of Isaiah 25, and he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away all the tears from all faces, and the rebuke of this people shall be taken from all the from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, and we have waited for him, and we will he will save us, and the Lord is the Lord, and we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now I'm going to tell you, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that when you got your eyes upon the Lord, you'd better wait upon the Lord. Gird your loins about with the truth of God. Walk in the path of obedience. Exalt and magnify his name together, and rejoice in the fact that he snatched you as a brand from the burning and saved your soul from a devil's hell. Now, you know, if you're saved here this morning, you're burdened, especially if you've got children, you're burdened about them. You know, you used to think in life, you know, it wasn't anybody but you, and then you got married. Now you're worried about yourself and a spouse. Then you had family. Now you're worried about them too. And then, see what I'm talking about? I say over and over again, that's the reason why I tell people that are visiting, and we don't have a lot of visitors here this morning, all of them home folk and stuff like that. But let me tell you right now is, if you're not going to care enough about your own children to be a good example, and I'm not talking about just simply coming to church, I'm talking about at the house. I attend Sunday school here this morning. Brother Mark does such a great job and all that business there. And one of the things he brought out is that you just simply cannot force feed somebody into believe in God, but you can bring them to the water hole. You can invite them to the water hole, and when they're thirsty enough, and I said to you right now, listen, the word of the Lord won't return void, and it will not, but you cannot witness and preach to somebody today and give them a cussing tomorrow and expect to make any impact with it. I thought it was kind of, and it just kind of came to me, you know. You know, you've got to watch yourself around people that are unconverted. I mean, you ought to watch yourself around these kiddos, but you ought to especially around people that are unconverted. If you're going to cuss like a sailor, they're going to wonder when you got out of the Navy. And then you'll be cussing them because they thought you were in the Navy. I didn't get one or two rights on it, but I know that I'm right, and God bless you for the one or two that I got. I just said all that to be able to rejoice in the fact that God saved us while we were unlovable. And let me tell you, there's not a person upon this face of this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I want to say that one of these days I'm not going to remember anymore the tears, the death, the sorrow, the crying, the pain. I can promise you right now, there are some people right here this morning that you no doubt that have some unbearable pain every now and again inside your soul that nobody can help you with except the Lord. And there's going to be a certain amount of that that you're just going to have to endure for the cause of Christ. Yeah. See? There's not a one of us in here that I can promise you that it's good to be saved, to be born into the family of God, but not one of us in here that's in that condition of salvation would not confess that hell rages on us every now and again. Sure it does. And if not, then probably you're just not born again, see. When you got saved, God put you in the battle. And there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit, and they're contrary one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you would. In this lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said he's going to make all things new. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. There's some things that I know that need to be made new. But we ought to rejoice in the salvation of God. Number two in our text, I want to say to you that we ought to look in the reality of right now. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, you'll find out is that everything's not going to be a positive. We live in a world that somehow or another they want everything to just be hunky-dory, and they want it to be all a positive, and they want to be it right now. I feel sorry for some poor sucker that's up there trying this morning to stand and give anything and everything positive. It's such a negative world that's going to hell in a handbasket. And I'll tell you, it ain't all good, but it ain't all bad either. I'll tell you something right now. It's not all positive, but it's not all negative. And let me tell you what we end up doing is that the reality of right now, now, it may not look so pretty. It may not look so good. But I can tell you what I will tell you right now, without a doubt, is that you ought to be where God wants you to be. You ought to know the mind of God for your life. You ought to be in the will of God with your family. And if you're not, you ought to find wherever that is and get there. I got two of you sticking around. See? You come every time, you're miserable. People you look at, you can't stand to look at, and so forth and on, and fuming and all. I'm not going to live like that. I'm not living like that. That's the reason why I'm hoping that you'll pray for this lottery ticket that I've got in my pocket. No, I don't have a lottery ticket in my pocket, for those of you that are out there. I could hear people just burning rubber, saying, oh, he said it's all right to get a lottery ticket now, and I want to say to you that whenever you look at the reality of right now, notice over in the book of Isaiah, in the book, excuse me, of Jeremiah chapter number 8 and about verse number 15, what's the passage there? We look for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, and behold, trouble. Buddy, you talk about a bunch there that was looking for something positive, and they said, we looked for something good, but it didn't come. We looked for something peaceful, but it came trouble. I'm going to tell you the reality of right now is that we're not home yet, children. And the reality of life is simply this. There's none good, no, not one. There are many obstacles in this life that we're going to have to be able to overcome. I can tell you what I will know for sure. Death is sure. Life is short. Death is sure. Just as sure as you and I have been born into the world, death is going to come. There's a passage, you haven't got to turn there, but over in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and about verse number 8, this Bible said that nobody has power over the spirit to retain the spirit in the day of death. In other words, you're not going to be able to ignore death. People say, well, I don't want to hear anything negative. Well, let me tell you, death's a negative subject to many people, but you can ignore it all you like, but it's coming one of these days. Now, since you can't do anything about it, and you can't retain the spirit, and you can't ignore it, I want to tell you, you're not going to stop it from coming. Here's what you better do. You better be prepared to face it when it comes. And you know the only one who can prepare you for that? His name is the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that's been able to win victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you, you'd better trust in the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's yet near. Number three in the lesson, let me say to you that redemption is from the Lord. Now, when you look back in your text there and you begin to recognize that, is that he said, God himself is going to tabernacle among us. And he says, and I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Now, there's a passage that I'm going to give you over there in the book of Acts in a moment. It's in about chapter number 20, and it's in about verse number 19. And let me say to you that salvation is free, but service is going to cost you something. In this lesson, verse number 19, the Bible said in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. Does that sound real positive to you? Which befell me by the lying way of the Jews. Here's a man preaching the gospel. Here's a man trying to build churches. Here's a man obeying God. Many tears and temptation because people are lying wait trying to kill him. And he says, and how that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. In other words, the message didn't change just because he was indoors, out of doors, or in the privacy of your home. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that when God says, I'll be their God, service is going to cost us something. I want you to notice over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 7, and in Matthew chapter number 7, just mark it with something, hold it, we're going to look at it in a minute, and then we'll be flipping over there in the book of Luke, and then we'll look again in Matthew 25, but in Matthew chapter number 7. Now, I want to say that when you begin to look into it, is that we're talking about in our text that God said that I'm going to dwell among them. I'm going to, in other words, tabernacle among them. And I'm going to be their God and they're going to be my people. But I want to ask you this question. You ever thought about whenever God's not going to be their God? What if you were to call out and beg and want God to get you out of the pitch and God said Depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's God saying, I'm not going to be your God. Notice, if you will, Matthew chapter number 7, verse 23. It's an old familiar passage. Of course, this crowd was busy. They were busy, you know, passing out tracts, trying to witness, trying to be this and that and help to another up and down the road. They were fighting the devil tooth and toenail, trying to cast out the devil, doing many wonderful works. But in verse number 23, the crowd that did all of them and that said with their mouth but not with their heart, Lord, Lord, here's what he says. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Man, that's God saying, I will not be your God. That's kind of, while you turn to the book of Luke in chapter 13, that's kind of going to mess up the ideology and the religious thinking that people have, that wherever you are, just bow your head and say this prayer and so forth and on, and go on rejoicing because you'll be heaven bound. You will be, unless you hear God saying the last day, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity, I never knew you. In the book of Luke, over there in chapter number 13, about verse number 25, the Bible said that, if you will, they asked the question, who then can be saved? Now, looking about verse number 24, we'll take up reading there. All right, he said, strive, here's his answer, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, shall not be able. Isn't that something? When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. And they're fixing to go ahead and tell him, well, listen, we've heard you speaking when you were in the streets and so forth and on. We've ate and drank this and that. I will tell you, our Lord said, in essence, unto that crowd, I will not be your God. Look back now in the book of Matthew chapter 25. It's an old familiar passage. We every now and again deal with it, where there's the parable of the virgins, the five that were wise and the five that were foolish. Remember that? And the Bible said that when the Lord came, and afterwards they also came, and of course the door now in verse number 10, and the Bible said in verse number 10 said, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were all, they that were ready went in. Are you ready this morning? They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now it's too late. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But her answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. We've read over there about people, you know, that were brokenhearted, that had tears, that went to crying, that suffered the pain, the agony of loss and death. And let me tell you, the trials and troubles of life. And God said, I'm going to one day wipe your tears away from all faces and from your eyes. But here's a crowd right here that God says, I will not be your God. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, is that when you look in it, that's why in verse 13 of the book of Luke and chapter, excuse me, Matthew 25 that we've just read, watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. In other words, what he's saying is, you'd better be ready. What a great sound over there in our Bible verse text that we've read in Revelation, whenever God says that God himself is going to tabernacle among men and that he's going to be their God and you shall be my people. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a child of the King this morning. I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. And I'm glad that the old accounts have been settled long ago. If you're not saved this morning, while God may be tugging at your heart's door and knocking on your heart's door, this would be a good time. While our musicians come, our song director comes, and while we get ready to sing a verse of invitation here this morning, as we get ready to go, I hope you'll sing with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And I hope you'll let God speak to you in a real manner. Our Father, as we get ready to dismiss in prayer here in a moment, I'm praying that you do a work that'll be lasting for all eternity in every heart that's here.
We want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. I pray that now you'd help us. Lord, for these boys and girls, sons and daughters, children, grandchildren. Lord, I pray that somehow or another you speak to every heart that's here. I want to say thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 165.
165. We're going to sing if you need.